Welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is Introduction to WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus WESB Extension to Memory Analyzer with WESB L3 Memory Usage Service Status Update. Today's presenters are Martin Ross and Andy Passman. Martin is a performance analyst on the WESB team at the IBM Software Lab in Hursley Park, UK. He joined IBM in 2006 and has been working on WESB since 2010. He has a degree in software engineering from the University of Southampton. Andy Passman joined IBM's Hursley Lab in 1985 as a developer and has since been a member of the WESB performance team prior to joining the WESB Level 3 service team. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Martin. You may begin.
Thank you, Dave. If we could proceed to the next slide, slide number two. So my name is Martin Ross. I'm the WESB performance team lead. I'd like to introduce you to the memory analysis tools appropriate to WESB in this presentation. I'll start by introducing the IBM monitoring and diagnostic tools for Java memory analyzer tool. And follow that on with an extension developed by ourselves specific to the WESB product. I'll then talk over the dumps and the data that these tools are able to analyze and work on before providing a demonstration of the tools in action. I'll then pass over to my colleague Andy Passman from the L3 team who will present on the WESB L3 memory usage service status, and talk you through the WESB memory-related APARs, the problems they resolve, and the levels to which they're appropriate. If we could advance to the next slide, slide number three. So IBM monitoring and diagnostic tools for Java memory analyzer, or memory analyzer for short, provides a comprehensive tool for analyzing memory usage. It extends the CLIPS memory analyzer tool and is available through the IBM support assistant. This tool provides a host of functions. First off, it enables the diagnosis and resolution of memory leaks in your applications. It also enables the understanding of the application architecture. So you're able to see what objects are on the heap, what references they hold, what's contained in their retained sets, so what objects they're holding onto, and you're also able to walk up and see what objects are referencing and holding onto them, which may be preventing them from being garbage collected or freed up on the heap. This leads into enabling you to improve your application performance by having a greater understanding of the memory model of your application and being able to ensure that objects and resources are freed up appropriately and that the retained sets are appropriate. The final function that is provided by the memory analyzer tool is the ability to develop plugins through extension points that it provides. If we go on to the next slide, slide number four. So there are many teams in the lab that have developed product-specific plugins to Memory Analyzer through the extension points they provide. And I'm going to talk about the one developed pertaining to WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus. This is available as and installed as a plugin to Memory Analyzer and is again available through the IBM support assistant. This extends two extension points that are provided. The first enables an augmentation of existing data structures within the memory analyzer tool. So, for instance, if you are looking or viewing objects in the dominator tree, we have the ability to augment the data that you see to provide some more specific information pertaining to that object. For instance, if you are viewing a XSLT mediation primitive, we're able to augment that so at a glance you can see the display name as that primitive would be shown in IID, or you can view what map that XSLT primitive pertains to. The other extension point that we utilize enables us to provide detailed reports pertaining to WSBI. There's six of these reports that I'll walk you through in the demonstration shortly. All this function aids in the problem analysis and of product-related memory issues by drawing on the domain knowledge and can significantly speed up resolution of such problems. If we move on to slide number 5, the installation process. As mentioned, these tools are available through the IBM Support Assistant. The URL is provided on this slide. From there, you can download and install the IBM Support Assistant Workbench, which provides a shell to which you can install and deploy a number of support-related tools. Through the Updates, Find New Tools, Add-ons menu, under the JVM-based Tools section, you can select to install the IBM Monitoring and Diagnostic Tools for Java Memory Analyzer, and at the same time, the IBM extensions to Memory Analyzer, WebSphere, Enterprise, Service Bus. And currently, there are two flavors of the Memory Analyzer tool available through ISA. The first is integrated into the ISA Workbench. If you're utilizing this one, then you can install the extensions at the same time. The other flavor is a 64-bit version, which launches as a separate process. If you wish to install this, then you must install the IBM extensions as a separate task through the separate memory analyzer process, pointing that tool at the IBM Support Assistant update site. If we move on to slide number 6, the operating system level and IBM portable heap dumps. So there are two flavors of dump that the tooling supports. There is the IBM Portable Heap Dump, or PHD, which is essentially a snapshot of all live objects on the Java heap. The second is a system dump. This contains a superset of the data held in a system dump. It contains additional information such as field names, field values, and the contents of primitive arrays. There are a host of ways of collecting system and heap dumps. I have highlighted two on this slide. The first is through the use of what are known as dump agents. So here there is the minus X dump command option that is added onto the JVM command line. Here you can specify whether you want a heap or system dump. You can then specify what events you want to trigger these heap or system dumps. Here we have specified user, so a user request, a heap or system dump will be generated. We then also request an exclusive prep, walk, and compact operations to ensure that the heap is in a steady state and there's no corruption in the system or heap dump files upon creation. The second option that I've highlighted is through the wsadmin commands available in WebSphere. Here you can again generate either a system or a heap dump. The dump agents requires a server restart to enable these in the runtime, whereas wsadmin commands do not require a server restart. However, the dump agents are more extensible and can be more tailored to your specific circumstances. For instance, you can configure them to generate system heap dumps or Java calls upon certain actions, such as when particular exceptions are thrown by particular classes or when there's an out-of-memory exception, for instance. When you're viewing these in the Memory Analyzer tool, it should be noted that due to the additional information contained in the system dumps, more information is presented to you in Memory Analyzer tool and the IBM extensions WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus. Okay, if we could move on to the next slide. I'd like to take you through a demonstration of the tools. Hopefully that has rendered now. So here is the opening page when opening up a system dump in IBM Memory Analyzer. The IBM extensions are installed and can be located in the menu structure. Yeah. If we start with the WSB overview query, there are several sections to this report. The first details product version information. It's all been extracted from the system dump itself. So here we can see what products are installed as part of the stack. We can see the versions and the build levels that they pertain to, as well as the installation directory associated. Second section contains information on the server itself that is running. So we have details on the server name, the node and cell to which it belongs. We have details on the time zone and the architecture of the product, as well as details on the startup times and the time that the system dump was taken. Third section lists the applications that were installed to WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus that contain mediation flows, so are performing mediation function. Here you can see that there are four applications deployed to my runtime that contain mediation flow component implementations. There is then a pie chart which illustrates the amount of the heat used by the WSB runtime. So this is the retained set associated with the WebSphere ESB class loader. And finally, there is a section detailing command line options used for the server. So these are specifically the minus X command line options, which specify the minimum and maximum size of the heap, what GC policy you're using, and your dump agents that you've specified. The second query that I'll show you is the WSB application overview query. As mentioned in the overview, there are four applications containing mediation flow implementations deployed to my server runtime. These are detailed in this query along with additional detail pertaining to the parsing mode in which they're running, so whether they're using the lazy parsing mode available in 7.5.1 or eager parsing mode prior to that, what library dependencies they hold. You can then also see the context route. There is a link to the application class loader. There is also details on the bindings used by that application. So here I have four applications. The first, JaxWiz workload example, has a JaxWiz web service export and a JaxWiz web service import. The second application is a JMS workload example, and as such has a JMS export and JMS import with the endpoints, the queues, the JNDI names of the queues used, and the resources, the activation spec, and the queue connection factory detailed also. The third is an MQ workload, so I have an MQ export and import, again with the queue endpoints detailed and the name of the queue manager to which they're associated. And the last is an open aggregation example, which has a JMS export with associated resources, and then has two imports, a JMS import and a JaxWiz web service import. If we Each of these also details that there's a mediation flow component available within that application. If we click on this link, we'll be taken to the mediation flows query. Here in the first section is a summary of the mediation flows that are available on the heap. So we have the JAXWIS workload, the JMS, and the MQ workload. Next to these is a count of how many instances of these are available at the time the dump was taken. So there are 20 instances of the JAXWIS workload currently being processed, 10 of the JMS and 5 of the MQ, along with a summary of the retained heap and used heap for each. If we now go into each, so the JAXWIS workload, we now have more information available to that specific workload, that specific mediation. We detail the request flow, so we can see that we're running on the operation check coverage. We can then see that we have an input node followed by a message filter primitive, a custom mediation primitive, an XSLT followed by a secondary XSLT, and then a call out. You can then see on the response flow for that operation, we are not performing any mediation. There is an input node wired straight to an input response node. If you hover over any of these, you will then also be presented with the display name of that mediation primitive as it is seen inside IID, so that you can tie up these mediation flows to those in your development environment. The second, the JMS workload, again, this is a one-way flow, so there is no request flow associated with this. We have an input node, a message validator mediation, followed by a message filter mediation. From the message filter, because of the indents, we can see that there is a message. This is connected to a message element setter, as well as a stop mediation primitive and an XSLT mediation primitive. And similarly for the MQ workload, we have an input, a subflow mediation, a custom, a BO mapper, and call out. If we then move on to the next query available through the tool, we have the mediation flow design report. This provides some recommendations pertaining to your mediation flow design that can improve the performance and usability. So, in the example stated, we have determined that the JAXWIS workload example contains XSLT mediation primitives that perform a transformation on the root of the service message object. And it recommends that the business object mapper mediation primitive may provide significant performance improvements in this scenario. It also identifies that in the JAXWIS workload example, again, we have multiple XSLT transformations chained one after the other, and suggests that combining these XSLT mediation primitives into a single transformation will improve runtime performance. I'll then move on to the mediation primitives view, the simple query that lists all the mediation primitives that are on the JVM heap, the number of instances of those objects, along with the used heap and retained heap, and then a final column indicating how much of the heap each uses as a percentage, so that you can see at a glance if there are any significant issues associated with any mediation. Final query is the WSBI statistics. Here we have more information pertaining to objects on the heap specific to the WSBI ESB runtime. So we have details pertaining to the mediation flow beam, subflow mediations, the number of mediation flow components, and BI model holders. We also see that there are 40 listeners on the module properties associated to the runtime. And if we click on the link to SCA module property import objects, we can see that we have two listed here. These are the promoted properties that you would define in IID. And through the augmentation that I mentioned previously, we're able to, at a glance, see that the first one pertains to message validator 1 with the promoted property enabled and the value true. We can also see that the second property pertains to message filter 1, and it is a promoted property on the filters option, where the current value is the body check coverage info queries provider is equal to show so or assure. We also have details pertaining to the thread pools available, the minimum and maximum pool sizes, and we can also see the active thread count. So as mentioned in the applications, I have a JMS application installed using the JMS bindings, which is using the MDB thread pool, and we can see that we have 5 active threads associated with these processes. I also had a JAXWAS web services mediation deployed, and here we can see there are 21 active threads associated with this web container thread pool. The third application that was running was used MQ bindings, and we can see that there are 5 active threads associated with the WMQ JCA resource adapter thread pool. The final section is associated with the Java mediation primitives. Here we can see that the largest Java mediation primitive on the heap is a message validator mediation primitive, and the retained heap size is 23K. If we click on the link, we are taken to that message validator primitive, and we can see through the augmentation process again the name of that mediation primitive as shown in IID. And in the second link, we can view all the Java mediation primitive objects. So we can see that we have a number of message elements, set of mediations, message filters, XSLTs. To illustrate the augmentation again, I'll just look through to an XSLT and to the actual XSLT mediation primitive itself. We can see at a glance that the display name of the transformation primitive is transform value in IID, and that the file associated is the transform value rec 1 XSL style sheet. Okay, I'll just pass back control to David and pass you over to my colleague Andy, who will take you through the rest of the presentation.
Hello, thanks Martin. As you can imagine, in Level 3, we use that plugin extensively to debug heaps that have been captured from customer environments, which have either got out of memory because of leaks or through general, just the workload is too high for the server and there's heap exhaustion. We have a number of fixes that we've identified. The first slide shows 6s for version 6.2.3 of the product. And if you're doing any sort of high levels of workload, we would recommend you install all of these fixes on your application server. The first one, IC66137, is an occasion where an object associated with a primitive with a message flow isn't dereferenced when the flow finishes. It's only dereferenced when the next message on that thread comes in, which doesn't sound terrible, but if you've got a significant number of concurrent threads and they're all holding on to additional memory until the next message comes in on that thread, that can cause a significant increase in your Java heap utilization. So that's an important fix to put on. One of the things Martin showed you there was promotable properties, whereby message flows register with a service that informs them when properties that are promoted have been changed. And by default, all message flows register a listener with this. And IC71538 is a situation where message flows, when they finish, fail to deregister from the promotable properties code. So a reference is held to that flow, so that flow can't be garbage connected. So that's another one that you should definitely install. In version 6 of the product, mediation flows are created within an EJB, and the sort of caching of flows is part of the EJB pool growing and shrinking. And there are some circumstances where when the EJB pool shrinks, it also doesn't deregister listeners. So IC76728 is a circumstance where you get a reference held when the EJB pool is released, is decreased. So that's another one to install. The last one is only applicable to where you've got fan in and fan out in aggregation modes, and it should be installed if you've got any fan in and fan out mediations. So that's the set of four fixes that we would recommend for version 6.2.3 if you're doing any sort of reasonable amount of workload on your servers. If you experience an out-of-memory exception or even an exhausted heap, first thing to do is to put those four on and see if your problem improves. Can we go to slide 9, please? For version 7 of the product, the caching mechanism has changed a bit, so there isn't an exact match of version 6 to version 7 APARs, but these are two that we found on prior to version 7.51, version 7.5, that caused significant problems. In the first case, IC77580, when processing service runtime exceptions, there can be a leak of a message flow. And the problem with that is you can have maybe some back-end service disconnected for a bit, and you can process a burst of runtime exceptions, and your heap will grow, and it won't shrink again even when the back-end is fixed. So this is the first one to put on for anything below version 7.5, you should install this fix. The IC782189, in version 7, with a native data holder, the caching of the flows is much more straightforward. They're in a hash map, and this IC82189 is when you're in a constrained environment, this forces some flows out of the hash map on a garbage collection, which you probably want to do if you're under load. Of course, once they've gone, if that workload comes back in again, those flows will have to be recreated again. So those are the two we recommend you install to take you up to a version 7.0.0.5 memory footprint. Okay, next slide, please. So Martin's talked you through the IBM extensions for memory analyzers, specifically the Enterprise Service Bus, which you install through the supporters of the IBM supporter systems, and it extends the memory analyzer with USB content. So that gives us a much better analysis and problem resolution of USB, particularly if you can capture a system dump. There are also other plugins in memory analyzer. There's WAS plugins, and as Martin went through the presentation, you can see that from the dumps we can actually see things like the JVM parameters, the minus X parameters. So there's a lot of information in that if you can capture a system dump. That means you don't have to go back and check in your WAS admin consoles what you happen to have set. So if you can get system dumps, that's the most useful for us and for yourselves. I talked you through the WESB service status and told you about four fixes for version 6.2.3, which you really should install if you're doing any sort of performance work, and a couple to take you from early versions on early levels on version 7 up to about a version 7.5 footprint. Next slide. This is the links you can follow to find additional resources of how to install a support assistant, where to get the extensions for Enterprise Service Bus. The last one is a document which describes debugging Java applications with Memory Analyzer, and it's got more information on the dump formats and how to collect what sort of dump format and how to post-process them to give you something you can import. So they're very useful. That's a very useful document. Next slide.
I think we'll pass back to David at this point.
Okay.
Thank you, Martin and Andy, for a great presentation. This slide shows some more additional WebSphere product resources that you hopefully would find useful. And finally, don't forget to connect with us. You could be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject WSTE Subscribe to get a list of mailing lists. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled, or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better for you. Thanks again for your participation. Moving on to the question and answer session. At this time, Teresa, we would like to open the lines for questions.
One moment. Ravi, your line is open.
Hi. This is an excellent session. A quick question. So does the memory analyzer, will it help to identify any memory leaks in any of the mediations? And if so, do you have any developer articles, anything that shows how to identify some of the memory leaks in the mediation modules?
So memory analyzer itself has built into it a leak suspects report that will identify anything that it determines may be the source for a memory leak. On top of that, the queries that are provided through the IBM extensions for WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus, if you view the mediation flows page, you can view the retained heap of the mediation flows to see if that looks appropriate. And also the statistics page holds details on the number of mediation flow beams and associated mediation flow implementations, and those numbers should tie up to ensure that there's no objects leaking.
Well, probably if you think you've got a leak, what you need to do is, over a period of time, you need to take a succession of dumps, so, you know, one early, one in the middle, and one just as you've got a full heap, and then you can look at the deltas as well. So that's typically what we would do if we had someone raising a PMR where they thought they had a leak. We'd be asking for a succession of dumps, preferably system dumps, during the course of when the heap is beginning to fill up. And if you can get system dumps, that also gives an option to send that to other teams because you have the full set of information there.
Thank you.
There are no further questions from the phone lines.
Okay, thank you, Teresa. I do see a couple of questions in the group chat. The first one was asked, which systems can this run on? Specifically, what about AIX?
So, Memory Analyzer will support portable heat dumps, system dumps from AIX, SOS, Windows, and Linux. But I believe the IBM Support System Workbench only has downloads available for Windows and Linux. So I would suggest that you would be able to collect a system or heap dump on your AIX system. If you're collecting a system dump, there's a secondary process to run a J-extract operation against that system dump, which is detailed in one of those links on the resources page. Once that's done, you can then export that to a secondary system to perform the analysis.
Okay, thank you. The second question, can I analyze 3 gigabyte heap dumps, PhD, using ISA?
Okay, so I believe that the memory analyzer through IBM's support system Workbench that is integrated into the Workbench is a 32-bit version. There is a 64-bit version additionally available through the Workbench, but it launches as a separate process. This was a tech preview, but I think it may have moved out of tech preview recently. If you use that, then you can use the Workbench to install the 64-bit process, which will then more easily be able to handle the larger file sizes that may be generated.
Yeah, pretty much the memory analyzer tool is going to create a heap. It's going to use a Java heap about the same size as the Java heap you've collected. So you need to be able to create a 3-gig Java heap in your memory analyzer. So you have to set the JVM, Java properties, the JVM heap properties right on your memory analyzer. And 3-gig, you're going to be over the 32-bit, so you need to be 64-bit.
Okay, thank you. There's another question that I think is probably going to be a little more involved. Someone in the group chat has posted that recently one JVM crashed due to OOM and heap dumps, and due to that, 15 other JVMs were affected because of one crash. Other JVMs stopped functioning and giving higher response times. After restarting the crashed JVM, everything got recovered. He's wondering why and how a single JVM holds all resources of other JVMs.
We'd probably need to have a diagram of the topology there and sort of what sort of clustering was going on to know what the different JVM role was. The 15 JVMs wouldn't all be doing exactly the same job, would they? So it would be a question of trying to work out what was the responsibility of the one that fell over.
Yeah, this might be something to take offline. And I would like to point out that Martin and Andy's email addresses are on the first slide of the presentation if you want to send them an email.
Yeah, that sounds like one to raise a PMR and send the dumps into support.
Okay. Thank you. I don't believe that I see any more questions in the chat. So at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable. We appreciate your participation and hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Martin and Andy, for presenting today.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation.